It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check it out. My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my pocket.
Welcome in, everyone. I am David Gao, the boss. Carla Dawson, the gloss, next to me. And joining us in studio is the mighty Ken Hoffman. He's a renowned columnist on Culture Map and SportsMap.com in Houston. Ken, welcome in.
Well, thank you for ordering me to be here.
You had no choice.
Well, he's Ken's boss, too. He's my boss, too. So yeah, we've got the boss and Ken and Carla. That's how we do it.
The pleasure to power.
You're the gloss.
She is the gloss, and you're the
gloss. I'll be the floss.
Or she's the the floss.
I like the floss. Flossy's good. If you're flossy,
More mossy.
Let me ask
flossy,
you. Let me just start
flossy,
with a
bossy.
Let me start with a really hard question for Ken Hoffman, and that is, what are you going to be for Halloween?
For Halloween,
yeah.
Now, do you say Halloween or Halloween?
I'm going Halloween.
I say hollow.
Hollow, like
Hallow's Eve,
like empty hollow. But it's H-A, it's...
I say hallow.
It's hallow. David, you say hallow, right?
I say hallow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with hollow.
Okay.
Halloween. What am I going to be?
You've avoided the question.
I am going to be something I've always wanted to be.
A Chippendale dancer.
Yeah, well, I've been that, so I can't...
You've already done that in real life, right?
Been there, done that. Something
did,
fun.
I did do that.
Yes.
Let me think. What would I be? I'll be...
anything that involves a unitard?
A candidate for mayor of Houston. How's that?
A candidate for mayor of Houston. You know what? You would win this year.
I was going to say.
Win this year.
Yeah.
I think
we should have run Ken Hoffman.
Yeah.
Well, now that you know so much about Houston and you're going to be our future mayor, let me ask you this. The state of the Houston sports scene.
Well, it was a rough week. In fact, it may be the roughest week, just statistically speaking, the roughest week ever.
Man. Yeah,
the four major
teams.
It's
an ofer.
Okay, the Astros crapped out of the World Series chance. Yep. They lost Game 7 last Monday.
Game 7 loss is a big deal.
The Rockets have started off 0-3, including one at home.
Yep.
The football team just lost to the worst team in the league, 0-6.
Handed Carolina their first win.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And it was more than that. It was Bryce Young versus our guy.
1-2-3.
It was
two
just
and three.
A horrible, horrible loss. It was just
Are you going to touch on U of H also?
And then U of H was... I think it was the worst shutout defeat in their history.
Yes, it
41
was.
41-0 to K-State. So you got the four majors.
The powerhouse of K-State football. They are good, actually.
They are very good.
But that's not who you want to...
So just the four major teams all had really tragic, just gut-wrenching losses.
Yeah.
All in the space. And we're coming off, the Astros, the euphoria of them winning the last game of the season... getting the bye and all that. And all they had to do was win one game at home, which is a difficult thing for them. It was just such a, they went off the cliff. The whole city went off the cliff. Maybe the worst week in the history of, just a wide brush. They all lost.
I mean, I can't argue against that. I mean, that's really a bad state of affairs. Let's talk about the football version first, and then let's go to MLB next. But on the football side, yesterday you had C.J. Stroud, the highly touted quarterback for the Texans, facing Bryce Young, who went number one overall. So there they were, these top draft picks.
Well, you had him versus number one versus two and three in Stroud and Will Anderson. I don't know that that's ever happened in the NFL.
That's
that
right.
Was pretty
one,
cool.
Two, and three were on the field
coming
as rookies. That must be a record.
And all starting.
Yeah, exactly.
All starting, all playing, all. And yet that game looked to me, it was so boring to me. I mean, I know there was a lot of excitement around C.J. Stroud versus Bryce Young, but there was no offense in that game.
No, what was it, 15-13? It was just terrible to watch. And artistically, it was a flop, and they lost.
And that coaching was way too conservative.
Yeah.
That game plan was way too conservative.
You're talking about the offensive play calling on both sides or on the Texans?
No,
on the Texans
Panthers
side.
Opened it up.
They did. And you know what? Honestly, Ken, you're right, because – Frank Reich gave the play calling duties to someone else yesterday, and that was clear.
Yep.
And, Bobby Slowick, I've been impressed with what he's done so far, but yesterday that was a conservative, boring plan. And then you couple that with the fact that Carolina had six first downs because of Texans penalties. That is so inexcusable. It makes me furious. And you've got this talented quarterback in C.J. Stroud who is not afraid of the spotlight. I mean, last year in the college football semis, lost by 1 point To Georgia, who went on to win it all.
Right.
He is not afraid of the big lights. No. And I was really frustrated with what a conservative game. And they did the same thing in Atlanta, in that loss to Atlanta. Damn. But interestingly enough, when Las Vegas has the Texans favored, Atlanta and Carolina, they've laid an egg. Go figure. Yeah.
Plus the last play when they're kicking the winning field goal, the guy went off sides twice.
Oh, Thomas.
It just looked like a clown show.
It did. It did.
It looked terrible.
They looked like the Texans of old.
Yeah. But, you know, the optimism, there really is optimism this year. Despite they got a real head coach.
Yes.
The owner's, you know, butting out a little bit. They got a quarterback. It is a good team. But they laid an egg yesterday.
Yeah, they really did.
They picked a bad time to leave him, Lucille.
Well, yes, Texans are three wins and four losses. True. And at 3-4, they're not out of the hunt. I mean, the problem is in the AFC South where they sit, it's a very weak division. But Jacksonville is pulling away. Jacksonville sits at 6-2. We talked about them last segment. Trevor Lawrence and company are on a good track. I will say the highlight, yes, has been C.J. Stroud thus far. I mean, his statistics, his rating coming into last week's game was pretty strong. I mean, he'd only thrown one interception as a rookie.
And still didn't add any to that yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he really knows how to take care of the ball.
But I was less impressed yesterday because it's easy not to throw an interception if you're just dinking and dunking it down the field. I mean, it just looks so.
But that's not on him. That's on the OC. That's on that play calling.
Yeah, but
yesterday.
One thing that's kind of unfair is because they had done so well recently, all of a sudden the word playoffs is out there.
It was out there.
It's the microwave analysis.
But you should be just looking for improvement. And they've equaled last year's win total.
Amazing.
And right. The win total of the last three years or 4 years even. But
yes.
Just look for improvement. And they're doing that, and they got a winnable game coming up against Tampa Bay here.
Baker Mayfield's favored, darn it. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
Who, the Bucs are favored?
No, Houston.
Texans are favored at home over the Bucs.
Go figure. Good Lord. That makes me nervous.
I got to get to my bookie.
Yeah, exactly. But Ken, you bring up a good point, because what you're saying is what a mature sports fan knows, is that Rome isn't built in a day. And hey, we have outdone our win total from last year and probably the year before, and it looks so much better. But this is not probably going to be a playoff team quite yet. There's still a lot of pieces together, especially on the defensive end. And you look at that with Deion Sanders and what he's done at Colorado. I mean, they have four wins. That is four times the amount of games they won last year. If they don't win another game on the season, he has outdone himself. But no, we're not talking about him as being a college football playoff team. But it's going to continually get better. So sports fans, it's very hard to be patient. And it's very hard not to have a microwave analysis week after week.
But the main thing is, don't you have a lot of respect and expectations from the coach this year that you haven't had in a long time?
I'm watching the games. That's a first in the past three years.
And people are going to the games also. Yep. But D'Amico Ryans, he's inspiring and he's clever, he's smart. And the last two guys looked like they were lost on the sidelines. They looked like they were wandering around, you know.
Well, they were.
They weren't even facing the right direction sometimes.
I know.
Maybe the last three guys.
Ooh. I mean, Bill O'Brien was certifiable.
He was.
Amen.
Yeah, cursing at the fans and all that. Yeah. And then David Culley did not belong.
No, he got stuck in a bad situation. He was hired to be fired. He was the whipping boy for the Texans.
And then Lovie Smith apparently was like the next person that walks past this door we're hiring. You know, he wasn't the guy they wanted. But D'Amico Ryans, absolutely. I look at him. He looks in control. He looks like he could play.
100%. He does.
So, you know, it's all looking up. And it's the same thing with the head coach of the Rockets. This guy looks like he's into it, you know, whereas last year, remember, they would lose and our coach would just go smile and shake the hand, you know. This guy is intense. We're going to like this guy.
Yeah, Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
well,
intense.
Udoka had a great run with the Celtics, took them deep into the playoffs.
And a great run with the front office of the Celtics.
And then a little trouble with the front office. Yeah. But that doesn't matter anymore, right? We've moved from that.
Apparently so.
New beginnings, fresh starts.
That's how you get new jobs.
I mean, look how many times Ken Hoffman's gotten in trouble here in the building, and then he just keeps dodging it, the trouble. It always seems to work out.
Remember a little conversation before this when you said topics we wouldn't bring up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I once saw the Rockets coach at Kenny and Ziggy's. He's a monster.
Or Stephen Silas, the old coach?
He's huge. You know, you don't expect that.
Really?
You know? Yeah, he's big and big.
He looks like a tight end.
Yeah, he's. I was surprised by how big and broad he was. He was in there with the rookie last year, one of them guys, and he was way bigger. He could beat up half the team.
Oh my!
Yeah, but D'Amico Ryans can beat half the team.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
No, D'Amico does look the part, and obviously he came from the 49ers defense where they were elite.
They were the best defense in the NFL.
But they almost had a lot of time. I hope he is all he is. I know this city has gotten all excited about him, but I wonder sometimes whether it's just because the predecessors were so poor, we're just so excited to embrace somebody new. And he has a wonderful persona about him and a great charisma about him. But when I watched that game yesterday and I see the defensive penalties and I see the offensive ineptitude, I think that team didn't look any different to me. So I'm still not on the train. I understand patience and such. They just look like the same old Texans yesterday.
Well, they're still young, and they still need pieces, and they're still getting used to a new system, new coordinators, new head coach. But what I see is that he has that locker room. Yep. Yeah, 100%, and so does C.J. Stroud.
If you watched the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, you would have thought,
oh,
what is this?
You
know, they didn't score a touchdown. You know?
Right.
So, have a little patience.
All right.
Be a bit doctor. Have some patience.
I'm sitting in the middle of you two, and you're both preaching patience to me, and I guess I'm going to feel better having heard you all out.
Yeah.
It's been helpful therapy for me.
There we go.
All right, when we come back, we're going to...
I want to talk some Astros with Ken.
Shift some gears to some baseball. We're going to figure it all out. What happened to the Astros down the stretch there, their loss in Game 7, the fate of Dusty Baker, and we'll look at the World Series matchup tonight, Game 3 in Arizona. All that up next year when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We have in studio with us Ken Hoffman, a man who we hope will run for mayor of Houston soon.
I am running.
He is a...
The man, the myth, and the legend.
He is.
In his own time.
I don't live in Houston. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. All right. Well, you live close enough in the greater Houston area that you can talk a little Houston sports with us, because we are sitting here in Houston after a really tough week in sports. Astros lost Game 7 in the World Series, and now all the transitions happen. Dusty Baker has departed. And it's interesting, there's mixed feelings in town about Dusty Baker and his tenure with the Astros. What's your take on Dusty Baker's time, and what grade would you give him?
Well, they went to 4 ALCS. They won 1 World Series. Went to 2 World Series, so you got to give him an A. But the question is, did they win because of Dusty Baker or despite Dusty Baker?
That's right. And there are certainly a lot of people who felt like the Astros had overcome bad lineups, bad decisions by Dusty throughout the year.
I think that. I think that he hurt the team this year. I think that he got hard-headed, and I'm going to play these veterans instead of two people in particular, McCormick and
Diaz.
Yonner Diaz. Mm-hmm. And it just got to the point where, he can read. He listens to the radio. He knows that the fans had turned, a large portion of the fans had turned against him. And he almost became defiant. He put Diaz on the bench the last 6 or 8 weeks, and it just got ridiculous. And then there were games where in the eighth inning and the game's still in question, he's still letting Maldonado bat. And you could just hear the fans... just gasp, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it got to the point where I had heard from very reliable inside source the decision had been made 2 months ago. Dusty was not going to come back, whether he wanted to or not.
Right.
And he made it easy on Jim Crane and Dana Brown that he resigned.
Well, and in fairness, his contract was up.
It was up every year.
So, it was going to be done. It was done at the end of the season. So you can't fire someone who doesn't have a contract.
He
wasn't fired. And I think what he did was classy and respectful of, I'm not going to make this messy because I got my World Series here. It was a great time here. I'm going to leave. But, I think about, I wouldn't say they won despite Dusty Baker, because I think he's a very talented manager. He's 74 years old, as you mentioned. He's been around the block, of course. And I think my take is that he did get defined. I think you're exactly right about that, Ken. But I think he got that way because he got tired of Crane and Brown trying to tell him what to do. He's like, I'm the manager. I really don't want to listen to here anymore. Because really what he was brought in for, when you think about it, when he came in 2020, this was a team that was reeling from one of baseball's biggest scandals ever. It was a job that really nobody wanted. Crane had just fired Lunau and Hinch. He was hired to bring, you know, a steady back to Houston and keep them on a winning track because they were on a winning track. The talent was all still there. And so not only did he do that, but then all the accomplishments that you mentioned, four consecutive ALCSs, three AL West titles, two consecutive AL pennants, in a World Series. I mean, you can say despite, but that guy, he did it.
Was this year a success for the Houston Astros?
No.
No.
Not at all. Hey, but you know what,
16 games.
But let me pause. That just shows the expectations for this team have radically risen, right? I mean, what didn't feel like that long ago where getting into the playoffs would have been a big season for the Astros, and we're all disappointed that they didn't make it to the World Series.
You know, a lot of times people say, oh, there's 150 different variables. It really came down to only a couple. Let me just ask you, who's a better catcher, Yonner Diaz or Martin Maldonado? Who's a better player?
I think you have to ask your starters. You've got to ask Fromber. You've got to ask Verlander. Yeah. I heard that Verlander didn't want Diaz catching for him. I think that's what you have to go back to. I don't know the answer to that, Ken, but I'm thinking to myself that there's some intel with the pitching that, okay, I'm not ready for Diaz yet. He's too young. Now, there is to be said, how does Diaz know how to call if you don't put him in? And clearly, offensively, he is the much better batter, no doubt. But I also think, too, I'm looking at Brett Strom on the Arizona sidelines thinking, dang it. I mean, a lot of changes have happened.
This whole business of Martin Maldonado being a great defensive catcher is so off the mark and so such an insane comment. He's a terrible defensive catcher. He's the worst at throwing out runners, stealing bases. He led the league for 2 years in a row in passed balls. He may be the worst offensive player in all of baseball. He's the slowest player in all of baseball.
But you have these dingers that save us and keep us loving him. I mean, he will just have a random home run that does it. Or RB. I mean, he just shows up just when he's about to be sent to the dogs, he comes up with one of these. Yeah, well, I mean, he's an interesting character. I think more his hard-nosed leadership style and how he has that locker room is
Martin,
probably good. Yes.
Please.
I don't know.
And Fromber demands that he picks his catcher. That's ridiculous. That's like someone going up to David Gallen saying, I don't want to do 10 to noon anymore. I insist on doing mornings. You know, where does Fromber?
Sadly, it happens to me every day.
But if Verlander doesn't want him, Verlander's going to get his way. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Did that start happening, by the way, where pitchers made demands who plays center field and who catches?
Well, how do pitchers
when
get
did that
all
start?
Of it? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just bringing it up as something to think about.
I understand
about.
That Verlander makes demands, but Fromber had a poor year.
Yeah, you know, he had a terrible year.
He's an emotional wreck toward the end. Yeah. And where does he come off? You know, it's just a simple
fact. And I don't know that he has. I am not saying that he has. I'm bringing that up as
no, he does. He,
I think it's a factor. It could be a factor.
He wants Maldonado. But, you know, you can't, you know, Mick Jagger once said you can't always get what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you try sometime.
Well, let me ask you about things you want. You may not get always what you want. But who should the next Astros manager be?
I love that. I want to know.
Who do you think, Carl? It's pretty much down to two, apparently.
Is it down to Osmus and Espada?
Yeah.
I would go with Espada. I know he's not the sexier name, but he's been their bench coach, and he knows them well, and he's beloved. I love Brad Osmus as the sexier name for sure. He was a Houston Astro with us, but he has been fired as Detroit's manager and fired as the Angels. And look at the records in Detroit and Anaheim. I don't want that.
You know, he signed a 3-year contract and gets fired after the first year.
Exactly.
That says more than
not
a good
sign.
What do you think, Ken?
Yeah.
What do you think?
None of the above. I believe they need to get somebody from outside the organization because I don't want someone who's been sitting there for the last 4 years making evaluations from 4 years. Bring in a new guy, Dana Brown's from the Atlanta organization. Yep. Maybe bring in someone from the Braves, who are a great organization. But, you know, you don't want Osmus, and you don't want a bench coach who's been listening to Dusty Baker for the last 4 years.
Well, that's a good point. Ken, let me ask you
this.
That's
like the fourth time she said I had a good point. I'm starting to get worried.
I know, because I'm just about to hit
well, she's
you.
Well, no, she's the only person in America who might say that about you.
I haven't had a good point.
But, okay, let me ask you this. Yeah. How influential, I think this is bizarre, that Jeff Bagwell is apparently very involved in this. He was a fantastic player for Houston.
Right.
The city loves him. What are you doing trying to pick a manager? I don't understand this.
He was the architect of a lot of the troubles this year.
Yeah,
he's the guy
that,
you know, he pretty much pushed Jose Abreu and Montero and Brantley.
Oh, Montero,
those three contracts all came back to, you know, bite the Astros in the butt.
Yeah.
And, you know, but apparently Crane, he's teacher's pet, you know.
Wow.
When we look at the Astros under Jim Crane, do you think he's gotten enough credit for the Astros' success?
I love Jim Crane. I like everything about this guy. You know, if you know a little bit about what went on before Jim Crane, it really was almost a second-rate organization.
Was that Drayton McLean, or was there someone between them?
It was Drayton. It was Drayton. But Drayton McLean did everything on the cheap a little bit. Crane spends money. The park, someone who works for the Astros told me that he's a fanatic about cleanliness. And that ballpark is
sparkling
clean.
Oh, you can eat off the floors. Yes, it's amazing.
You can, because there's a lot of food down there.
Yeah, no, there
and
is.
Ken Hoffman has eaten off the floor of Minute Maid Park.
There's a lot of food there.
He loves a good hot dog.
I do. You don't?
Not like you.
Yeah, not like you. Gets all excited when we go to Fuddruckers.
Yeah.
No, but everything about this guy is first rate, Jim Crane. And
he's played baseball. He understands the game.
Yeah, you know, and... But I know when I go to Minute Maid Park, everything is clean. Even the restrooms are clean. The food, the food handlers are good. Everything about the place is good, and the team is terrific. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's not to like about the guy?
Do you think, Ken, any of the Astros' struggles this year? Let's kind of push the manager situation aside, but as far as the clubhouse. A little bit what happened with Golden State after several runs going deep into the playoffs. We're having to go to the next segment, right?
All right, when we come back, we're going to resume this conversation on
hold that thought.
The Astros, but we're also going to look ahead at this series, the World Series, Game 3 tonight in Arizona. We've got Ken Hoffman in studio. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss
and the gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio. And Carla, I'm glad I've got you here because I need to visit with you about I got to talk to you about my wife.
Okay. Oh, no, we're on air. Be careful.
I know you have a good relationship with her.
She's a bestie.
She's a good friend of yours. You guys work out together. But you've probably noticed she'd been suffering from arthritis. Lots of pain in the joints.
But not recently. Okay, something's happened because she's been doing all the things. She's kind of like blown me away. What's
okay. Well, what happened is I went home to her and I said, look, I know you've been trying different pain relief creams and most of them are not working for you, if at all.
No, and you could kind of smell them. They were like menthol related. It was strong.
Bad smells
on
them.
But I got it. She needed to do it.
She had to try it. I said, are you ready for something different? Because I found it. I found it. With your help, Carla, it's called Capsiva. Capsiva. Capsiva is a scientific breakthrough in joint pain relief. And it does so because it captures the medicinal power of capsaicin and it eliminates the burn and the smell.
There's no smell.
There's
and
no
she can
smell.
Do everything. It's been like amazing.
No, she puts it on the achy parts of her body. It absorbs really fast. It's homeopathic. It's all natural ingredients.
And it doesn't mess with any other medications. It doesn't have any drug interactions. It's kind of perfect.
No, it has been a home run for her. It's a use it all. Just have a great time with it. It's 100% money-back guarantee. So you can use the entire thing. And if you're not satisfied, send back the empty container. I mean, it's a sweet deal. You got to try it. You can send it back for a full refund if it doesn't work. Capsiva has no known side effects and no drug interactions, so it's safe to use with any other medication. Take it, try it. It's the best. Stop living in pain. Get Capsiva now. You can find it at several places, but at Meijer, Kroger Pharmacy, and select CVS stores.
And they have the rollerball little thing, too. You can just keep it in your purse. It is amazing, and your wife is killing it now, so it's perfect.
She's back at the gym with you.
That's right. Bring it.
Awesome. Get Capsiva. We have gotten Ken Hoffman. And
Ken Siva.
All that entails.
Yes. Does Carl know where we're going in 10 days?
Is who going in 10 days?
Where you and I are going in 2 weeks.
I don't know if Carl is aware of all this.
Well, yeah, don't feel bad leaving me out. Jeez.
I got a feeling that you... Okay, would Carla want to go where we're going?
I don't know. No, in fact, I think
Ken's
she...
wearing a Royal Rumble hat. I'm real curious.
No, it's not a wrestling...
that's
my private insanity.
Okay. Yeah, there's no WWE event in this.
Okay, that's good, because that's not my thing.
We are going to Mexico City to see perhaps the greatest songwriter in the history of the universe.
Who is it?
Barry Manilow. Just had to throw that out there.
Yeah. The second greatest songwriter.
I don't know. Give me.
Well, let's say he was part of a Fab Four in his day, and he's 80 years old.
Paul McCartney.
And he's the great Paul McCartney.
Stop.
You bet. In Mexico City.
Well, thanks for the invite, boys.
Yeah, boys. Yeah. What about that?
So last year I
off
said
off the Christmas list. Ken, scratch. David, scratch. Sean, you're in.
Tell you, Carla, but Sean's coming with us.
Oh my gosh, Sean, you're out.
So all of a sudden, the three boys are going. No, we need Carla on the trip, don't we?
Well, we can. It can be arranged.
So
last year I said to David, "Hey, Paul McCartney's playing in New York City, a giant stadium over the river in New Jersey." So he goes, and I met him there, and it was the best concert ever. And it got greater and better and better and greater and greater. And then all of a sudden, Paul McCartney says, "I'd like to bring Bruce Springsteen out on stage."
Stop.
And Bruce Springsteen comes out, and they sing Glory Days, and they sing an old Beatles song. It was just the best. And then we found the Uber driver right away. There were 80,000 people there, and we found the Uber driver. It was like one of the great nights.
It was a perfect night.
It all worked. And a lot of times, things don't work out.
Ken, I was just on Abbey Road at their studios 2 weeks ago.
Did you get a picture on the crosswalk?
I did.
There you go.
I did.
Did
you
write your
name?
Walk. Did you write your
name?
Yes,
I did. On the wall, on the pillar on the wall, going into Abbey Road Studios.
So while you
two are yucking it up in Mexico City, I'll just be holding down the fort for you guys.
You will.
Producing and announcing, apparently.
You'll probably be on your own here with Sean. It'll work out okay.
So in Mexico City.
It's probably a better show, frankly.
Yeah, Mexico City is the smallest venue he's playing on his current little dip below the equator.
Wow.
And he's going to South Africa.
How many people? What's the...
22,000.
No kidding.
Ooh,
yeah, it's a soccer stadium.
Very intimate.
And so we got good seats, and we had great seats in Giant Stadium. It just worked great. Remember the sausage sandwich we had?
It was a
beautiful sandwich.
Every
you two are like a sausage sandwich right now. Just stop rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Well, it happened to be Paul McCartney's 80th birthday as well.
Okay,
so when The Boss came out,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen, he had the crowd sing "Happy Birthday to Paul."
Oh,
it was
my
unreal.
Gosh. Y'all are amazing.
Everything about that night, perfect evening weather-wise, everything was perfect. And we're going to try to replicate that in Mexico City.
And when we say the boss, we mean the real one, not this.
Yeah, not this guy. I may or may not hope that you get Turista. Enjoy yourself. No, I don't.
Turista.
I don't.
Oh, dear.
I don't want that for you. I want you all to enjoy it. And then, Ken, you have to come back and report back. I want to hear all the stories.
We will report back. It should be great. That's Mexico City in a couple weeks. Tonight, it is Game 3 World Series. It is the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. You know, Ken, you were talking about the matchups and what did MLB want? What do the ratings want? What does TV want? And
what does Ken want?
Ken
wants to watch something else tonight. The thing about sports is this. I'll give you a little anecdote, okay? Mattress Mack used to run the tennis here, and he had the year-end Masters Series Cup, I think it was called back then. And in the field, there's eight players, and in the field was Agassi and Sampras and Roddick.
Big names.
So he goes to the tournament director and he says, "I want Agassi to play Sampras in the first round." And I said to him, "It doesn't work that way. They draw names, it has to do with ranking, stuff like that. It's not professional wrestling where, you know, the Hulk's going to wrestle the Beast." And he was stunned that he couldn't get the glamour match. So in baseball, everybody wanted the Astros versus the Phils, the repeat of last year. Instead, they got the Arizona Diamondbacks and Texas Rangers, neither of which is a glamour team. And, you know, I just ran a little test. I asked David Gow, who's a big sports fan, name the manager of the Rangers. Can you do it?
Bruce Bochy.
Okay.
Well, Carla,
well,
you can't
I grew up in the Bay Area, and between Bochy and Baker, I knew them from the Giants.
Charlie Palillo and drag here.
My reaction to that was, my gosh, Dallas is a big market. Phoenix is not a small city. Why can't these be big-time matchups with big-time followings and big-time fandom? But I guess in Dallas, it's still a Cowboys city, and they don't have a great history with the Rangers.
No. Who's the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks?
That one I cannot answer.
There you go. These are the teams in the World Series.
I couldn't tell you five players on their team. Now I can because I've been watching
it. That says something, you know.
Yeah. Coming into the postseason, we did not know these
teams
well. And
the ratings are a disaster. The first game during the COVID year when they had in the bubble, you know, that kind of thing, I think that was the lowest ever.
That's when the Dodgers won.
But this year, this is the lowest rating of the first game in the history of baseball.
And it was a good game. I watched the game. I love baseball.
Yeah, you know, but we like stars.
Yeah.
And these teams are devoid of stars.
Well, it's so interesting because the Rangers bought their talent with Scherzer, with Corey Seager, all that. And then you've got Arizona, who are these young guys devil may care. They're just all put together, and it's really impressive what they've done.
Yeah, it's just hard to... It's hard to watch when you don't know who these players are. And the star player from the Rangers, the guy who's hitting home runs, if you saw him at Luby's, you wouldn't
Adolis Garcia.
You wouldn't know who it is.
No, I don't think he's a great guy. He's a super talented guy, but I don't like his home runs. He hits a load of them.
He kind of single-handedly beat the Astros.
He did. He single-handedly beat the Astros.
But the Astros, you know, and in fact, we live in Houston and we go to the games and we watch them on TV obsessively. They're big stars. You know, Verlanders, you know, they're all big stars, at least to us.
Bregman, Altuve. Yeah, I mean,
Altuve
Pena,
may be my favorite
Tucker.
Player of all time. I love Altuve. I love watching him. I like everything about the guy. And we know about him, you know, personally.
Yep.
He's fantastic.
No,
he's a girl dad. He's, you know, he's funny. He's nice. And
he's humble.
And
he's really
humble.
He
always talks about the team first. But the thing is, I don't feel sorry for anybody except myself. But I really do feel sorry when he's booed in all these stadiums around the country because apparently he didn't do it. But never say, I didn't do it.
No, he's a team first guy.
Yeah, he says we behave as a team and we suffer the slings and arrows as a team. But apparently everything we hear, he didn't do it.
Well, you know, Ken, you bring up a great point. I agree
that's
with
like
you 100%. I know. Look at that. I'm all about it.
Wait a minute. Do you say this? Do you say the great point to the other guys, too?
I do to David quite a bit.
Well, that kind of lessens it for me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm the boss. That. She has to say it to me, but she says it to you.
Yeah, my paycheck.
Something
special is happening here.
Who was me last week? Who sat here?
That was Joel Blank.
Joel Blank.
There's no chance you said good point to him.
She disagreed with everything he said.
I did. When we were talking about the NBA. But here's what I would say, Ken. I would end this by saying, you know why Altuve has to take what he takes? Because people hate who they can't conquer. Period.
All right, when we come back.
There is that.
I want to take a look at the NBA. James Harden still not playing. And we've seen some action early going. The Rockets don't look too hot, but fun to see what San Antonio has with their rookie. That up next year when we return on Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios,
here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio. We've got Ken Hoffman in studio here with David and Carla.
Keeping us smiling, keeping us on our toes in here, that's for sure.
Well, we've been wanting to get to Victor Wembanyama, who has been unbelievable thus far, or at least hype to a large degree.
And the hype's real.
You guys have seen him play. You say the hype is real. I mean, to me, let me ask this first. I'm trying to think, has there been anybody who's come out who's been as hyped up and the world's been as excited to see play since LeBron? I mean, Zion had a lot of attention when he was coming out. LeBron, obviously. But there's been nobody, I have to say it, LeBron and then Victor. That's my take, right?
Yeah, he's also exotic because he's from France, you know.
Exactly.
So there is that. And
Yao Ming was exotic because he was from China and he's a huge monster of a man.
He had all that craziness.
Yes.
You know, we had the song and all that stuff. But Zion had it too. And he's been a major disappointment.
Very disappointing.
Whereas this, San Antonio, I think they got a good guy too.
Well, and they've got the right coach. Pop, he's, we saw what he did with, he got David Robinson. 10 years later, Tim Duncan, and now here we've got Victor Wembanyama. And look at this. So opening night, the Spurs game, opening night, Wembanyama in his Spurs debut, he had 15 points, 2 assists, and he was 5 of 9 in field goals. Tim Duncan in his Spurs debut, 15 points, 2 assists, 5 of 9 field goals.
Exact same stats.
I mean, exact. Now, it's not fair to compare them. Their positions are very different. Their body types are very different. But it's a great start and an exciting start.
Okay. Tim Duncan had a much better team around him.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. Yeah, and so this is going to be up and down for the Spurs for sure.
They won five was it?
Yeah.
Five titles.
Well, that's right. When Tim Duncan joined that team, Dave Robinson was still there. Yeah. So that was a...
He was the heir apparent.
But let me ask you guys, when you see this new phenom, what's the comparable? Whom does he look like to you in size and play? I mean, many have said Kevin Durant because of body type, ability to shoot from outside.
No, he's unique.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think there is a comparison.
No, he's like, 7'4"? But you hear 7'5", 7'3", whatever. He's unique.
Now, you were comparing him to Ralph Sampson earlier.
Yeah, but Ralph Sampson wasn't as skilled as this guy is.
Yeah.
But, we don't know. This guy has never played in the NBA. And the NBA is a little bit different from the French National League or whatever they call it over there.
And you know what's been great about him, and I know this because I know someone on the inside of the Spurs, but is that he is he's a sponge. He's not coming in thinking, I'm all that in a bag of chips, so watch out. He loves the history of the NBA. He loves the history of the people that paved the way before him at the Spurs. What Popovich has done, he is all about, and he's like, yes, when reporters ask him about his size, and yes, he needs to get bigger, he's like, I've been in this body a long time. I know what I need, and I know how hard it is. I can't transform this body. I'm going to strengthen it as best as possible. I mean, the Spurs have a sprinter van, especially for him, because he does not fit in a regular sprinter van.
I mean,
he's also only 19 years old.
He's 19, but he's incredibly mature.
Yeah, and he's got a good family
good
apparently
family
around him.
Yes.
He's got a good support system.
Absolutely.
And he's got Pop. And it's all going to be good,
I think it'll be good too, but you bring a great point. There you go again. I'm getting you in every segment that he doesn't have the pieces around him that Duncan had and, even David Robinson, honestly. It'll be a work in progress.
And he's 19, and the team is not fully baked. So there has to be patience with what he will do, his impact in the NBA. In fact, I mean, I was reading one piece that said, teams like the Bucks and the Celtics who have made trades to win now, the Suns who picked up, they got Booker, and they got Bradley Beal. That
and
everyone's
Durant
position
at
went
the Beal. Trade
There's
deadline.
This feeling that you've got to gather up assets and team players right now, because the window to win the championship may close when Victor grows into the man that he's going to become.
Was Duncan the number one pick overall?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
He was out of Wake Forest.
And a heck of a talent.
Wow. Now,
so they won five. Were they all with Duncan? Or did Robinson win
one? No, Robinson won one. And then I think it was four with Duncan. And then Duncan is a consultant slash coach with the Spurs now.
Yeah, he's on the bench now.
Which is so cool.
My favorite coach is Becky Hammon.
Oh,
who's a San Antonio
exactly
from the family tree.
Yeah, she was the first real coach in the NBA. I mean, first real woman coach in the NBA. Excuse me, female.
I like everything about her.
And
she won again. She won again this year.
Yeah, she has two WNBA finals with the Las Vegas Aces. Impressive.
Well, at the other end of the spectrum, we've got James Harden. And I know you both have seen James Harden firsthand when he was in Houston. He talked his way out of Houston. He's up in Philly. He's trying to talk his way out of the 76ers right now. He ate his way out.
Put on a fat suit to get out. Remember
that? Well, so there he sits. What a dilemma. If you were Daryl Morey and the 76ers, what would you do with him? And who in the league would want him now, given his current behavior?
Well, they want him, except that they know that the 76ers have their hands tied, so they're not offering a great deal.
Because,
you know, you got a player who's not playing, so I'm going to maybe not give you the extra draft pick, you know. But he wants out. They want him out. But it takes two teams to tango.
Right.
And, you know, the Clippers want him, but they've actually – I've heard they've lowered their
– Yes, the I offer. Have, too.
I mean
– Was that a great point?
It was a fair point.
Okay.
It, but it strikes me – I were
redundant.
The
I need
Clippers,
one more to set the record.
If I were the Clippers or any one of these other teams, that my feeling would be – I don't want to take him on because
he's a cancer.
Maybe by the end of the season, he's going to go nuts on me.
But he's a great player.
He's an extraordinary player.
But you know, if a great player, I'm going to say, I'm going to challenge you on that, Ken, because a
so
great
he made a
player
not
to
so
me.
Good point.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
You maybe. Don't think he's a great player?
To me, this is how I, in the NBA specifically, this is how I would categorize a great player. A great player is someone who shows up. It, when it matters most, and a great player makes those around you better. Well, I haven't seen
can
any
I mention
of that.
What you said?
Yeah.
Shows up, point one, because he doesn't always show up.
Not
then,
the postseason.
Then shows up when it really mattered. No, I'm saying he didn't he's not
true.
Even show, I mean, he didn't show up for training camp.
No, that's right.
And then we got to get
Amen.
To,
there
okay, yeah, in the playoffs, he's not had a great
no,
playoff
you get
history.
A good point.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Sharing
But, I mean, he just hasn't. The inconsistency of his personality and his performance on the court just would give me pause. And the fact that he's under contract, every time he talks his way out of a team, he's under contract. He's obligated to show, and yet he just decides, I'm done. I'm ready to get out. Trade me.
But during the regular season, I think he led the league in assists last year, right?
Oh.
So someone is benefiting from being on his team.
Well, yeah, but what does it do? They blow a 3-2 lead to the Bucks.
Oh,
in the
playoffs, he's not good.
No, and that's
here,
what matters.
He was record-setting bad when he was here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, he was terrible.
He's just, you know, I remember one time when he did play here, Tad Brown, the former president mm-hmm. of the team, said to me, I want you and James Harden to have lunch. You got to get to know this guy. He's really a terrific guy. And, you know, we all think we're good judges of character. I looked at him. I said, this is a horrible person. Even I don't want to be around him. And I still think that, though.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And I look at this and I think, you know what? We know the end of the story. We saw how it ended in Houston. We saw how it ended in Brooklyn. We see this messy ending and potential ending in Philly. I don't want him. I'm like, what good is he? He doesn't do anything for me in the postseason. And that's when basketball really starts to matter. It's all about the postseason. You can't win a championship when you don't show up for the postseason.
But
so,
the window is closing in for the Clippers. So they may think we need him. We'll make one more run with the current Paul George and Kawhi. So we'll
good luck with that one.
They want him, and he'll go there. You know, you're not going to pay a guy. Unless you're the Houston Rockets, we don't pay people. Teams don't pay him millions of dollars. Just stay away. Like we paid John Wall $40-something million dollars not to come.
Sit.
Not to come.
Well, it does strike me the Clippers are the logical destination, assuming he ends up being traded.
Well, that's on them. They do that. Good luck. They're not going anywhere with him. I'm serious.
Right.
He doesn't help. You tell me a team he's helped. Mm. He got his MVP in Houston. Great. What do the Rockets do? Continue to lose to Golden State. You know, they brought in Russell. They brought in Chris Paul. They did everything James wanted, and still nothing.
But to be fair, they were a serial playoff team when he was here. And since he's gone, we're not a playoff team.
Yeah, but he couldn't get them. He couldn't get them over the hump, even in his best years, his MVP years.
It's hard when other teams want to win the title, too.
Yeah. No, seriously.
I hate to say this, but we're almost out of time. I just wanted to check in with you on the Warriors. Are you feeling good about them? And what does the addition of Chris Paul mean to that team?
It means depth. It means vocal leadership. That's what they've really missed is vocal leadership. And you've got a 19-year veteran who does not mind coming off the bench. I think it's going to be exciting. It's what they need. And they're getting older. They need this. So
if you're going to be hard on James Harden for playoff performance, you got to be hard on Chris Paul, too.
Yeah, I'll be hard on it, but he doesn't need to be the guy. He's willing to come off the bench. Harden wouldn't do that.
All right, we're going to have to cut it here, and I hate to say so because time has flown.